Broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts get a bad rep. It could be because they are so often prepared badly. Now, critics might say it is impossible to prepare them well. I disagree, and I think Escoffier disagrees, or would disagree. Do you like broccoli, cauliflower, or Brussels sprouts? Are you willing, regardless of your answer, to try some new procedures and maybe find out they aren't so bad? The Eating Liberty Podcast, episode 286, Food and Freedom, Once a Week for Life. Hello, folks. Dan Reed here. Welcome back to the program. I've spent many years behind the stove in a professional kitchen. With one single exception, which I'll get to, broccoli and cauliflower were never used. And when they were, broccoli and cauliflower were almost never used. And when they were, it was terrible. I've discovered some ways to make them stars on the plate, and today I'm sharing that with you. So the Escoffier series continues. In the last episode, the last Escoffier episode, I stopped to save broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts for this episode. I've mentioned before that broccoli and cauliflower are in the cabbage family, which is Brassica. It's a pretty big family, and maybe the most notable traits of that family are aroma and odor, to be gentle. The smell of it cooking is too much for some, and the smell of it after eating is too much for almost everyone. A bit of the wind, as they might say. Escoffier offers recipes for cauliflower and not broccoli. He writes that any cauliflower preparation is suitable for broccoli, and he doesn't have anything to say whatsoever about that second problem. Since Escoffier wrote his book, a lot has changed in the production of both vegetables. Now, there's a lot to say about plant manipulation and hybridization, and folks are doing it. Not today, not this show. Escoffier identifies a few varieties which maybe can be found in the store now and again. Now, I don't know what those are that he mentions. When I go to the store, I get one choice. Broccolini is one kind of broccoli that looks a little bit like rapini, also called broccoli rabe, which is another cousin. The broccoli, I think there are different varieties because sometimes the floweret has a really long stem coming off of the main branch, and sometimes it's really kind of knobby. I'm pretty sure Steve, the produce clerk, doesn't know one from the other, and maybe he didn't even pay attention. Cauliflower, there's the white one. Sometimes there is a purple one, which has a sort of fractally pointy design, and there's a golden one. I myself avoid those things. It's a little too much manipulation for me. I think broccoli and cauliflower, as they are, is about as far as I'm willing to go. But that's just me. In both cases, for cauliflower and broccoli, the recommended cooking procedure is in salted boiling water until tender. Remove and refresh, which means shock in ice water to stop the cooking. Now remember, he's writing for cooks and for restaurant service. At home, an ice bath may not always be necessary. Now, I want to talk about cooking various vegetables in various kinds of water, specifically alkaline and acid. Mostly, this is a tease for an upcoming episode. There's a lot there, and it's worth covering. The one thing I add here about this idea is to avoid adding acid to water for green vegetables, which includes baking soda. The acid will turn them olive drab color. The baking soda, at first, the color is amazing green. It's just like almost surreal how green the green bean can be. And when we did this when I was teaching culinary school, because we need to find out what happens, we did this. So the green beans boiled in the baking soda water were green and they got slime. I mean, gross. All on the outside slime, which is entirely unappetizing. And we tried, and it is unappetizing. It doesn't taste good at all. So those are two good reasons not to do it. Escoffier puts thought into the presentation, of course, because of what he's doing. And that's why some of the cauliflower procedures indicate boiling the whole cauliflower, which is going to take some time. And you're going to need to refresh or add to, refresh is confusing, add more boiling water to the pot, because it may take half an hour or longer for that whole thing to boil and cook. And then he doesn't do that all the time. The other thing to do is cut the, he calls them, he doesn't call them flowerets, but I'm going to call them that. Cut them bouquets. Cut them near the stem so you have the biggest hunk possible, and then boil them that way. And he's going to put them in a bowl and rearrange them, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, so that when you lift the bowl off on the plate, it looks like the whole cauliflower, and it's easier to serve since the core is not inside. One complaint of cauliflower is it has nearly no flavor. Now, I can agree with that when discussing boiled cauliflower. It's pretty bland, and the flavor is mostly subtle cabbage. That's not a big selling point to most people. Now, add a cheddar cheese sauce, and you might get some attention. It could be that everyone forever thought cauliflower, as is, can be a bit dull. Escoffier had a solution. Cauliflower gratin. For you playing at home, that is procedure 4067. Quote, arrange the bouquets in a suitable size round bowl to reshape it to its original shape, filling the center with a few tablespoons of sauce Mornay. Coat the bottom of a gratin dish with sauce Mornay and demold the cauliflower on top. Cover completely with more sauce. Sprinkle with a mixture of grated cheese and fine, dry, white breadcrumbs and with melted butter. Mix the crumbs with melted butter and gratinate. Yeah, period. End quote. And gratinate is the word he uses, which is kind of interesting. The key in most of Escoffier's cauliflower procedures is fat, specifically butter, which adds flavor, and veggies love butter. Two more procedures to mention that are easy to do at home. If you're having a large party, rearranging the cauliflower back into its round head is fine, excepting you have a service bowl suitable to hold such a thing, or a platter with a decent edge. In most cases, we will serve on a plate or a platter for the past plate service, so you have a little platter like at Thanksgiving time, or just arrange them on the plates in the kitchen before you take each plate to the dining room table. Cauliflower Milanaise and Cauliflower Polonaise both used brown butter, and that's kind of where the similarity ends. Cauliflower Milanaise is this, quote, place the cooked and well-drained cauliflower in a buttered dish sprinkled with grated cheese. Sprinkle the cauliflower also with grated cheese, add a few small pieces of butter, and gratinate in the oven. On removing from the oven, coat the cauliflower with a little brown butter and serve immediately, end quote. That can easily be done in a small oven-safe dish or one large casserole dish for self-help service. The small one would be for, you know, like a la carte something on the plate or on the side, probably on the plate so it doesn't burn guests' fingers. It would also look impressive in either way, and that big platter would really be nice. He doesn't say so, but chopped fresh parsley for green is a good addition after it comes out, so it doesn't brown or burn under the broiler. Now, cauliflower polonaise is at least one more step, but worth the effort. Quote, drain the cooked cauliflower well and place in a buttered dish. Sprinkle with mixed, chopped, hard-cooked egg yolks and chopped parsley. At the moment of service, coat with brown butter in which fine white breadcrumbs have been fried to a golden brown. End quote. Now, I realize this may be a translation problem. At the moment of service, coat with breadcrumbs that have been fried golden brown, and that makes the brown butter. So this, it's the same thing. At the Governor's Club, because we were doing service, we added cauliflower polonaise. No, this isn't why. we added cauliflower polonaise to a chicken dish with a few adjustments because it was service. We used the whole hard-cooked egg. The yolk was passed through a fine screen so that it was almost like a powder, and then the whites were chopped with a knife. We also mixed the toasted breadcrumbs and the parsley with the cooked egg, seasoned the mix, and then waited. On each order for that particular dish, some of the polonaise mix was sprinkled onto the cauliflower piece and heated in the oven to get hot and then gratinated in the salamander. Salamander is like a small broiler. It looks nice, and the crunch of the crispy breadcrumbs is a good added texture to the otherwise pretty soft cauliflower. Sauce Mornay from the previous one is a bechamel sauce with Gruyere cheese added. You could easily make cheddar cheese sauce or Swiss cheese sauce or any cheese sauce you prefer to go on your cauliflower. Cheddar cheese sauce sounds especially good on broccoli. I think broccoli au gratin would work very nicely. Now, before we leave cauliflower, I want to add this process. It's not in his book, and it's a flavor powerhouse. It's not in his book since there seems no easy way to make this presentation pretty. The process does create some cauliflower trim. You can chop the trim parts up or food process them to make your own cauliflower rice and or pickle them. Or there's a lot of other ways to use this. But the main thing here is we want to cut the cauliflower from the middle with the core. So from a whole head of cauliflower, leaves removed, and the core trimmed flush with the bottom of the head of the cauliflower and stem side up. Cut along the core straight down, creating those loose pieces. Next, cut planks of cauliflower through the core, approximately 1/4 to 3/8 of an inch thick. Now, you only get a few of these per head. Lay the planks flat and season with salt and pepper. And that's going to, you'll see that the salt is going to draw a little bit of water up. Mostly I want that to happen because I want that to start to increase the caramelization in the pan. Now, here's one time a hot pan doesn't mean smoking hot. It does mean as hot as the medium-low setting will get it. And that may take, depending on your stove, those glass induction tops, I think, are really pretty inefficient at the transfer of heat. So it takes a good long time. What's that mean? It takes 4 or 5 minutes for my pan to really hold heat. I have a Le Creuset, which it sort of fights getting hot. But when it finally gets hot, it holds heat well in a cast iron pan. They take a little while to get hot, but when they finally get there, then everything's good to go. It's just requires a little bit of patience before you're ready to cook. And that vexes both of my daughters because the eggs always stick. So the pan wasn't hot enough. So in a pan over medium low heat, add some coconut oil or clarified fat. Bacon fat, tallow, lard, or ghee is fine. Add the planks of cauliflower to the hot pan. Allow them to cook so they brown. Low and slow is the key to developing the rich, deep flavor cauliflower has hidden away. It's there. I use a 10-inch cast iron pan and can sometimes get 3 planks placed flat. Sometimes only 2. It depends on the size of the cauliflower. This cooking is a test of patience and trusting the process. Allow the cauliflower to get as dark as the brown of a leather bombardier jacket. What happens when it gets that dark is an umami shows up that can't be found any other way. Turn the cauliflower plank over, it'll probably fall apart a bit, and brown the other side. You will probably need to add a bit more fat back to the pan to prevent burning. It's done. The cauliflower plank is done when the core is really, really tender and the bottom of the flipped piece matches the color at the top. Now, in case that doesn't happen, in case the bottom side isn't quite as brown, but the core is really done, well, you can take it out if you need to do more planks or push a little bit more and get that extra flavor there. So, you've got well caramelized planks. What the heck do you do with this? Place a chicken or beef curry on top. It could be like the little base for a thing, little veggie crouton, as it were. Add sausage and eggs. When it is well cooked, it'll break easily. At that point, add blanched cherry tomatoes, some water or stock, and it's a great pasta sauce. It's going to be a shock of flavor. Like, you're not going to expect this. It's like, how did this happen? Add a bit of extra virgin olive oil to the sauce in the pan and finish it. It really is something else. I use coconut oil because I use that caramelized cauliflower as the base for a curry. If I keep saying how amazing it is, you're not going to believe me. So really, it's worth doing. Broccoli can be caramelized like cauliflower. The flowerets aren't as amazing as the stems, which need to be peeled. And then that caramelized broccoli is really nice. The stem part, depending on what kind it is. Now, sometimes in the stores, they sell broccoli crowns where they've already cut that stem off. They charge you more for the crown, but you're not taking home the stem. I don't mind the stem. The broccoli stem is kind of like a tree. It is very, very woody on the outside, but once you peel that away, and peeling it away, you use a paring knife and cut that part away, and you'll see there's fibers in there. It's like wood. Peel that part away, which will never cook out. The inside part, very tender, very delicate. You can eat it raw. It's got an amazing crunch. It makes a fantastic broccoli coleslaw. That, diced, cut into coins, cut into long strips, whatever you want to do to it, that will caramelize very nicely. And then that has a nice broccoli cabbage caramelization flavor. Brussels sprouts are very nice au gratin, Milanaise or Polonaise. My go-to preparation is to caramelize them, big surprise, right, in bacon fat and finish them in the oven. Then add chopped bacon and blue cheese and mix. Ideally, some of the blue cheese will not melt, so there's a temperature contrast, and the unmelted blue cheese has a slightly different tang to it. So there's a flavor difference, and there's a few things going on as contrast, which is kind of fun. One other way, which works for broccoli and cauliflower, is baked in a cream sauce, and this would also work for Brussels sprouts. In all cases, the veg should be cooked about 75%. Since I prefer my veggies hammered, I make sure they are at least that, 75%. They'll finish cooking in the cream sauce in the oven. Allow the veg to drain well, then arrange them in a casserole dish which has either been buttered and sprinkled with grated cheese or prepared casserole with a thin layer of cream sauce on the bottom. Add the drained, cooked veg, one layer if possible. Cover with cream sauce and bake till hot and bubbly and lightly browned. You are free to add grated cheese to the top for better browning and more flavor. I would ask you to avoid entirely, completely, and forever that scare quotes cheese in the green plastic container on the grocery aisle, which isn't refrigerated. It doesn't melt. The plastic will melt. The cheese inside will never melt. So I'm not actually convinced it's actually food. It's two actuallys in one sentence. So no doubt, foes of these three veggies may show reluctance at these new preparations. No preparation makes the flavor go away. These preparations only meant to enhance the flavor they have. Now, I realize that's a losing position for some folks, and that's fine. More for us. My brother was firmly opposed to bacon with Brussels sprouts since the bacon flavor overpowered the sprouts. Well, I see his point and never once agreed. Thinking something is going to overpower a Brussels sprout is kind of silly as far as I'm concerned. So bacon it up. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I'll post the text from this show with the procedures as Escoffier wrote them for the au gratin, Milanaise, and Polonaise. Now, he's not one for details, which means there's a lot of room for you to make it your own. I've been getting the garden pots ready because I don't really, I don't have ground space too much because the deer eat everything, so everything is in a pot on the roof. And some of the seeds in my system are sprouting. It's still at least a month away before the last frost here. In one of my potato pots, I have four volunteers, which means I missed four potatoes from last year. Now, that's kind of fun, and I'm a little bit eager and curious to see what happens. Have a good week, and I'll see you soon.
Music for the Culinary Libertarian Podcast is provided by Matthew Bankert at mattbankert.com.